This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth and development, and we want to congratulate you on Charlottesville Tomorrow's first story published in the Daily Progress.
Yeah, it's actually my first story. Sean Tubbs had two stories published last week.
There you go.
So this is our third story through the new partnership between Charlottesville Tomorrow and the Daily Progress. So our stories are getting into the paper. We're very excited about that.
Yeah. So the readers of the Progress should know then that now we're going to start seeing more local coverage of growth and development issues and local politics and things like that.
That's the plan. We're going to complement the existing staff over at the Progress and help them cover all these meetings.
Very good. Good. I like it. All right. We got some things we want to talk about before we get out of here. We have an abbreviated schedule today, so we'll be leaving at 5:30 today. And we got a lot of stuff we want to get to. Let's start, of course, with where should we start? How about the Meadow Creek Parkway?
Sure. Are you playing sound there?
That was a little swoosh. I call it the swoosh.
Oh, I missed the swoosh. I didn't
you like
have my
it?
Headphones on.
I said, let's start with the Meadow Creek Parkway.
Wow. Okay, now I'm in the mood.
Yeah.
There was a letter. This was talked about on the front page of the Daily Progress by Roshana Dixit. A letter was written about the historic resources around the McIntyre Park and the interchange proposed for the Meadow Creek Parkway. And this letter is from the Advisory Council on Historic Preservation. The news, Coy, is that they are concerned that the powers that be that are putting together the road project are not looking effectively or not looking thoroughly enough at all the historic resources that might be impacted by the construction of the interchange. So, you know, my read on this is it's another obstacle in front of the Meadow Creek Parkway being completed and on the city side of the project. And it's something that I know the community members, you've had Dan Bluestone on the show, and I know his house looks right down on the parkway, on the interchange site. And so I know he's very concerned about this, and he's been one of the people that's in that group that's trying to make an assessment of all the historic resources and make sure that the interchange, if it is built, is as respectful as possible of those sites.
Yeah, and I agree with him.
But at this point, you know, the other parties that have to sign this are people like the Federal Highway Administration and VDOT and the City of Charlottesville. They all have to sign or not sign a letter at the end of the day about the treatment of historic resources. And this is just an advisory letter. If this group decides they could never support this project, it doesn't stop the project. But it certainly gives weight to some of the concerns of people like Peter Kleeman, Dan Bluestone, and others who have been expressing concerns about
absolutely.
This.
That's the question you have to ask. When you destroy historical resources, which is absolutely what this entire project would do, will you get your intended effect, number one? And number two, what unintended consequences will be the result of your actions when you destroy these historic resources? And
But even that is a matter of interpretation, because at the end of the article, City Councilor Satyendra Huja is quoted as saying that the diamond-shaped interchange, this grade-separated interchange proposed for the Meadow Creek Parkway, would not impact, would not damage those areas. So in his mind, they've picked a footprint for this interchange, which minimizes the impact as much as possible.
Yeah.
In his words, does not do damage.
They still have to move the Vietnam Veterans Memorial.
I believe they're going to have to do that, yes. Because one of the on-ramps will be right
would
in that area.
Would go right through it and destroy that whole hill. To me, that's all. You look no further. To me personally, you look no further. That's it. The oldest public Vietnam Veterans Memorial in the nation. That thing dates to what, 1966, 67? You know? It's like, to me, that's sacrosanct. You don't mess with that. That is the oldest in the nation, and you don't just rip the trees up and move them. You know, that just for me personally, that you would look no further than that. That's, and there's a long list of historic resources, but that to me is...
Well, that one was not mentioned on this list, and I couldn't tell you why that was, at least in the article. But the ones that are McIntyre Park, certainly the golf course there, Covenant School, which is across the street, the old McIntyre High School, and the Rock Hill Landscape, which is that rock wall that you see as you're driving along the bypass.
Yeah, they're getting rid of
the Rock Hill Academy.
What's the latest? We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. What's the latest on water rates?
Well, this was interesting, Coy. I'm always intrigued when people show up in force at a public hearing, and it changes the outcome. So this was a game-changing moment in front of the Albemarle County Service Authority last week, and I was there to witness it. And what was on the table were connection fees related to water and sewer. So if you're a developer and you want to build something, you have to pay per unit, basically. For every unit you want to connect to the grid, whether it's water and sewer, you have to pay a fee to do that. And it's not a cheap fee. It adds up. And the developers were facing a potential, on average, I think it was about 42% increase in their connection fees. Now,
I wonder why the Albemarle County Sewer Authority is so intent on making more money.
Well, what they're
intent... They got a $500 million new reservoir they want to buy?
That is part of the plan, Coy. So they do have to cover their costs, but they're also existing infrastructure that they need to upgrade.
Yeah.
But also, growth needs to pay for itself. And actually, the developers at this meeting were the first to say, we think growth should pay for itself. So they're willing to pay their fair share, but they felt like 42% was way beyond their fair share.
So what happened?
Well, what was interesting was they said, there's no way we can handle this. 15% is the most we could take in any given year. Now, one of the developers who's working on the Arden Place project, Andrew McGinty, that's the project near Woodbrook, right behind Fashion Square. And we've talked about that on the show in the past because the Woodbrook neighborhood came out and said they were concerned about it being interconnected, Arden Place and Woodbrook being interconnected. And remember, that was the one where the developer in the old Circuit City shopping center
said,
we don't want to connect to customers, you know, on the other side of the fence there.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Mr. McGinty is faced with a big challenge. He's got a project he's trying to get approved by Albemarle County right now. It'll be in front of the Planning Commission next week. It's about 206 apartment units that he wants to put in there. And he went into this project thinking it was going to cost him $2,400 a unit to put that, to connect them to water and sewer. So that's about $500,000. So he's got to bank that into his project, figure out, okay, that's in my budget, $500,000. He said that during the past 14 months, the price has gone from $2,400 a unit to $5,000 a unit. So it's basically doubled. So now he's looking at $1 million. And he's saying, you know, that is such a big swing that I can't go back to my funders and say, hey, you know, we need more money if we want to do this project.
Banks aren't going to give it to you. They're sitting on the money.
He said, you know, we need more notice. So the development community showed up in force. Five or six of them testified. And one of the members of the board, Mr. Colball from Scottsville, he changed, you know, he made a motion. He said, you know, we can't go 42% effective September 1st. We've got to phase this in. So he upped it roughly 15%. On average, it was about 13%, but really cut it back. So there is an increase effective today, but the full increase won't take effect until March. In the meantime, what they're going to look at is the possibility that developers could buy these things in advance and sort of bank them and lock in certain cost, maybe a couple years in advance before they get the project approved. That's new ground for the Albemarle County
Service
Authority.
Can I do that? Can I buy my water for the future at today's rates?
You cannot do that.
Or do I have
that,
to be a developer to do that?
You cannot do that. But these developers are asking if they can do it. And the service authority, as part of their discussion, said that they would have staff look into that. So there's no firm proposal on the table, but it's something they're going to look into. And the idea there is that the developers are saying, hey, we need to be able to plan ahead on these projects, and we'd like your help doing that.
Interesting. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. Let's continue our discussion about water by talking about the latest on dredging.
You saw that the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority got an update last week on the cost of the dredging study. Now, this is not dredging. This is just to study dredging, right?
Yeah.
Part of that is work we have to do anyway. If you have a reservoir used in a water supply, like South Fork Ravana Reservoir, every so often you have to do what's called a bathymetric survey. And I don't know the science behind that, but I think...
Bathymetric?
Bathymetric.
Like a bath of water?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think basically they pull some buoy or sonar thing.
Find out where the depth?
They figure out the shape of the bottom of the reservoir.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're doing a bathymetric survey. We have to do that periodically anyway. Okay?
I'll do that with a weight and a rope for $500.
Yeah, it would take you a long time. You need a whole lot of science and computer technology, I think.
I grab my fishing pole, I'll be out there, I'll figure it out for you.
But, you know, this community really wants to get to the bottom, so to speak, of the dredging question.
Nice, yeah.
And to do that, they need a lot of detailed information in the minds of the powers that be at the Ravana Waters.
So the study is $700,000.
So the consultant that they're looking at, they've not hired this consultant yet, but they've narrowed it down. The first number that he put forward was $700,000. The expectation had been, let's hopefully get this under $300,000.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
To get this study done.
I don't understand this, Brian. Why would they pick the person to do it and then ask them how much they want to charge? Why wouldn't you just say, hey, we want a dredging study, and then collect estimates like you would for work on your house?
The approach they took on this was first to sort of pre-qualify the firm that could do this study. Certainly, if they don't like the number that comes forward, if they say, hey, that's just totally out of our ballpark, or we don't like the approach you're taking to solve the items in this request for proposals, they could then, you know, go back to the market, so to speak.
They never did that with Gannett Fleming. No matter what Gannett Fleming said, they said, yeah, here's more money. You know, it took them years to wake up and realize, wait a minute, we don't like what we're getting from you, and all you're doing is costing us money.
So, you have strong feelings about this quote?
I do indeed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what's happening right now, my understanding is City Council, because remember, the Albemarle County Service Authority said, hey, we're not interested in paying to study dredging if that's not going to be part of the water plan. And in their mind, that's not part of the water plan.
Yeah.
It may be a part of other plans, helping rowers, helping fishermen, helping protect land from growing and becoming, you know.
They want a new reservoir. Yeah.
Part of the plan is to build the new reservoir at Ragged Mountain. So when Albemarle County Service Authority was looking at this dredging study, they said, hey, City of Charlottesville, if you want to study this to that degree, to get a real firm cost estimate, then you pay for it. So now the city's on the hook to figure out how much they want to pay for. So my understanding is City Council is talking with their staff right now, trying to figure out how to reconcile this challenge.
Well, they're about to spend over $800,000 just to brick Second Street.
I saw that on the hook today.
They're gonna. So that's not something that needs to be done yesterday. Why don't the city just pay for the whole damn thing themselves, and they probably get a much better result than going through this middleman, the water board.
Well, one of the things that Tom Frederick said is that at the meeting when he presented this, he said one of the reasons the costs have gone up is that we have asked for so much detail in this dredging study.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got to understand where that's coming from, too. The previous attempts to come up with dredging numbers were viewed with a lot of skepticism in the community, right? And that was based on looking at dredging over a 50-year period and figuring out where are we going to truck this dirt that we pull out of the reservoir. And so to get a better number, and Gehagan and Bryant was a consultant brought to the community to investigate this a little further, they said, hey, you should do a more in-depth study. The ballpark number they gave at the time was around $300,000. But since then, some additional work has been added to that plan to figure out some other aspects of this. How could you prevent the sediment from coming into the reservoir in the first place by building forebays, they're called, upstream.
Yeah, I've heard of those.
So there's some other components here.
And those really work, too.
It's not just doing a quick, you know, sonar scan of the reservoir and say, okay, here's your number.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot more work involved. And plus, you're asking an engineering firm to put their name on a quote and a plan for pulling this stuff out over a long period of time and disposing of it.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler. Floyd is on line one. Floyd, you're on with Brian. You go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Coy and Brian.
Hey. Hello, Floyd.
From my recollection, the Ravana, South Ravana Reservoir is owned by the city of Charlottesville. Is that correct, Brian?
Yeah, I believe the land around both these reservoirs is owned by the city of Charlottesville. In the case of Ragged Mountain, it's the land around it. They're private landowners around South Fork, but I think the land that the reservoir is on is city land.
Is there any possibility of some shenanigans going on where, if you know, they'll take their marbles and go home if the county doesn't agree with them?
Well, you know, that has certainly come up, and I think right now both bodies, the Board of Supervisors and City Council, are trying to find a path that they can cooperate and work together to get to this answer. You know, it's not like the city doesn't need water. The biggest customer in the city of Charlottesville is the University of Virginia, and UVA is going to keep growing. So they've got a major customer that needs more water, and, you know, we have to find a solution both localities can live with.
Thanks for the info.
Floyd, thank you very much. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. Brian, thanks very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.